Thank you, and thank you all for being here. So, yes, the Louisiana Public Health has been mentioned a few times, which I'm happy to hear that. But, you know, we together on this panel all work together a lot, so it's really great to see us up here and talk about all our projects that intersect. I know it, we know it, but to hear it up here and to present it to you makes me really proud to work here. So I have no disclosures to report. So what I'm hoping to do today is I'm not really going to talk necessarily about the collective impact model, but I do think our project represents that approach, with LPHI acting as kind of that backbone organization. And so to confuse you a little bit, our specific project is called FITNOLA. And we wrote our grant for this project at about the same time the city was developing their FITNOLA framework. And the city was at the table with us, and so we thought, well, we're going to call our project FITNOLA. And now that we've been funded and have been rolling for a few years, and their initiative is also rolling, there have been times when it gets confusing. But just for you to understand, I'm going to be talking about the FITNOLA Parks and Prescription Program, which we consider to fall under the community sector of the city's FITNOLA framework. So this project is funded by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Louisiana, with matching funds provided by a handful of different partners. Blue Cross Blue Shield has 11 challenge grants across the state, and all these grants are going to be evaluated together by the Pennington Biomedical Research Center. So for some background, So when we were developing the concept, as you heard, in Orleans Parish, we have high obesity rates. We also have 12.3% of our residents have diabetes, and 24% do not consume the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables. So what we were really trying to do with this project was to look at creating a synergy between clinics, parks, and farmers markets in three targeted neighborhoods. And we wanted to do this by connecting low-income residents with family-oriented physical activity, nutritious food, and community-centered health homes. So our target population was residents of low-income, high-crime New Orleans neighborhoods, but also neighborhoods whose community leadership had expressed interest and enthusiasm for improving their health. So we chose the three parks on a range of criteria, including crime rates, park attributes and needs, density of children, and then the proximity to community health clinics and farmers markets. We also looked at the capacity of some of the park booster clubs in order to help us participate in this project and take a leadership role. So those three parks were Taylor, Thompson, and St. Rock. And just to kind of look at this, a map to see the proximity, some things aren't as close as we'd hoped it to be, but this was really, they're closer than they appear from this map. So some of our partners, I wish I'd put up all the logos like Naomi and Whitney did, because that looked so nice. But these are some of our partners throughout the project, and you'll hear me mention a few of them in more detail as I talk about the project components. So the FITNOLA Parks component. The parks are part of the New Orleans Recreation Development Commission, which is a public-private partnership between the city and the commission. The commission's made up of city officials as well as residents from the council districts. The funding comes from both the city budget and from fundraising efforts by the New Orleans Recreation Development Foundation. So you'll hear me refer to NORDC and NORDF. And those are the organizations that are mainly responsible for implementing the physical activity component of our project. So the overall goal of our park project was to increase physical activity among families of neighborhoods surrounding the three FITNOLA parks. And we wanted to do this through improved infrastructure, free physical activity programming beyond just youth organized sports that most parks offer, through increased security, and through engaging the community. So when we started the project, some of our matching funds actually came from FEMA and from Chevron, and they started to do some infrastructure improvements at two of our parks, Norwood, Thompson, and St. Rock. And some of these improvements included new basketball goals, lighting, reconstruction of the restrooms and the concession buildings, covered bleachers. Unfortunately, they started doing these infrastructure improvements right about the time our project got funded, and so our parks were closed at the beginning of the project, and it slowed some of our work down. So the Fitnola Parks programming, what we did once the parks were reopened, we held what we called community input events at each of the three parks and invited anyone, all the residents of the neighborhood and the community. And we had them vote on different programming options. So we had demonstrations of some things like Zumba and CrossFit and hula hooping. We also had samples of healthy concessions. And so we asked the communities to vote on which of those they would like to see at their park. And then we used that information to the best that we could to then inform what we moved forward with providing. We also tried to do park usage surveys just to kind of get some more feedback on other types of infrastructure improvements or programming they would like at the park. We hadn't been successful with that, and to date we still haven't really been. I'm sure, as most of you know, it's just hard sometimes to get surveys back. So in February of this year, we held our kickoff event. We had a press conference that included the CEO of NordSea, the Health Department Commissioner, the Executive Director of Market Umbrella, a representative from Blue Cross Blue Shield, and from Chevron. We had to reschedule it twice due to conflicts in scheduling, due to weather. And unfortunately, we didn't have as much community attendance as we had hoped, but with our media coverage, we did see some of our class participation numbers jump up. So this is kind of an overview of some of our programming. We're offering Zumba, line dancing, hula hooping, CrossFit, salsa aerobics, and yoga. So we offer about 3 to 4 classes per week per park. And as you'll see, is that January number. When we started it, after so many things that had slowed us down, we knew we just needed to start it. And we literally started it with no marketing, no anything, and it was right in the middle of winter, so our numbers were not that high. But as you'll see, they really jumped up. Like I said, after the press conference, they jumped up a little. We also did a marketing campaign that ran in June, and so we published our different schedule and some ads in targeted zip codes in our local newspaper. We did it on Facebook. We did bus shelter ads. And while our numbers necessarily didn't increase in participation, New Orleans summers are very hot. And these parks, I don't think I mentioned this, they don't have indoor facilities, so these classes are taking place outdoors. But we did see a great increase in our website analytics. Just to throw some numbers at you, for the Fitnola Parks website, from January to May 31st, the total number of hits was 2,362, which averages to about 16 per day. And then just from June 1st through June 24th, which was when the media campaign ran, we had 1,526 hits, which averaged out to about 64 per day. So we really do think that our media campaign was successful in making people aware. So this is some of our signage that we use. And one thing we did learn from the community was that the signage needed to emphasize free. It needed to show pictures of people like them doing these activities. So this was kind of what we came up with. And what we did was, while these classes are only taking place at three parks, we located these signs at all of the 35 NordSea parks to cross-promote and to encourage people to attend these classes from the other parks. So this is a component of our project that we literally just started Monday. We really thought that if we could give patients prescriptions of both exercise and fruit and veggie, which I'll talk about in a little bit, that they would kind of take it more seriously. If it came from a doctor and it was a prescription, that they would be more likely to, fill that prescription. And so what we're doing is we're working at one neighborhood clinic right now, and it's up to that doctor's discretion to decide who gets the exercise prescription. And they're prescribed either low, moderate, or high impact activity, which they can redeem at the parks. And so when they turn this prescription into the instructor, and they sign into the class, they're entered into a raffle to win an iPod Shuffle, and we're giving one of those away at each park each month. So we're really hoping that that will help encourage people to come to the class. And we're also allowing even participants that have been coming that don't get a prescription, they can still sign in and be entered into the raffle, because, again, we're just hoping across the board that will increase participation. So this is just what our prescription looks like. Again, we wanted it to look like a real prescription. So we also, as part of our, trying to do some policy systems and environmental change, we were hoping to pass some policies within the parks. Unfortunately, we haven't really been that successful. With the healthy concessions at those community input events, we did have the residents vote on some of the items that they might like to see at their parks. We used the Booster Club to help provide us input, and the way we set it up was that the grant would pay for 100% of these concessions, but then the Booster Club could keep all of those proceeds. We've used some of the different point-of-sale marketing strategies, lower price points. We bought sandwich boards that advertise the concessions. Unfortunately, the parks are so inconsistent with when they sell concessions that it's been a little hard to track, but we are taking inventory and hope to see that some of these healthier items are selling. And at this point in time, we have not taken away the unhealthy items. We've kind of been told, don't you dare. So we're just hoping to see that at least they're trying some of these healthy options. When we wrote the grant, we hoped to pass some no alcohol policies in the park. We were pretty much told not to do that. Being that we are in New Orleans, people here like their alcohol, and we were told that the city would not support us, but the reason for that is because a lot of the booster clubs sell alcohol at the parks, and they make a profit off of that, so that's not something we're pursuing anymore. And as far as no smoking, that's not off the table, but the city is currently looking into an indoor air ordinance to make bars and casinos smoke-free. I hope some of you joined the second line yesterday. So at that time, they're working on an indoor policy, and we haven't really approached the no smoking in the parks yet. But as our way of countering that, we did make signage at each of our parks' entrance, and if you can see, it does say, please refrain from tobacco and alcohol use. So that was our way to kind of enforce the policy. So security, what we learned in another study from residents of New Orleans is that one of their top challenges to being physically active is that they don't feel safe going outside. And so we knew as part of this project we really needed to address that. And when we wrote the grant, we'd hoped to get some volunteer reservists through the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation, and some of their money didn't come through, so then that fell through for us. So we had to go through the New Orleans Police Department. But then at the same time that this was happening, they were issued a consent decree, which made the whole detailing, how we go about hiring details, different. We now have to go through this Office of Police Secondary Employment, and they were essentially starting at the same time that our project was. So there were a lot of issues. We couldn't get officers to sign up for the classes, and a lot of that is because the officers were resentful of this new system because there were no more minimum shift hours. The pay was a little bit less. So we really had a hard time at the beginning of our project getting officers to come out and secure the detailing. We've gotten a lot better. We've actually increased the hours that we're willing to pay them because we figure it's never a bad idea to have the officers at the parks, whether a class is taking place or not. Excuse me. So that has improved. And then the booster clubs are really a huge component of our project, especially as we look at sustainability. They're really our key to community engagement. But we kind of had a revelation, you know, a few months back, maybe a year back, that booster clubs are really built to work with the kids and the families and the kids organized sports. So we had to really work with them to have them help us engage more families and parents than just their focus being on the kids. So what we did was we wrote memorandums of understanding that included the healthy concessions, having them assist us with some tracking surveys, and giving them the chance to offer us some feedback. And we had those signed by the CEO of NordSea and then our director at LPHI. So as I mentioned, sustainability of the booster clubs are really key to that. And right now our partners at Tulane have actually developed a sustainability toolkit for booster clubs and neighborhood associations. And that's in the review process. But we really hope to use that in the next year and provide TA to these booster clubs. So I know this is a physical activity session, but this is a really large component of our project that I want to touch on. And this component of the project is developed and implemented by Market Umbrella, which I know Whitney mentioned. And they're the group that really runs the Crescent City Farmers Markets, but they also do a lot of education beyond just running the markets. So our goal with the fruit and veggie prescription was to increase the consumption of healthy foods and families of neighborhood clinics surrounding Fitnola Parks. And we wanted to prescribe, again, just like the exercise prescription, fruit and veggie prescriptions at those clinics. So when we started this project, we wanted repeat patients because we didn't just want to give them a prescription one time. We wanted patients that were consistently coming into the clinic so that we could measure and evaluate if this was working at all. So when we started, we were just using diabetic patients and pregnant women to get the prescriptions because they were coming back. And then we focused on clinics that were close to both the parks and the farmers markets, again, to create that synergy. So again, we tried to make our prescriptions look pretty similar because we wanted people to recognize the two together. So this is the prescription, and then when they turn this in at the markets, they get this voucher that, depending on their family size, will be dependent on how much money they get. So I know that I don't expect you to even see this, but this is our logic model just to give you an idea of everything we're trying to measure with this project. But specifically, some of the evaluation components we're utilizing. We have done SOPARC, which is the System for Observing Play and Recreation in Communities. And so what that is before any of our programming started, we had students go out and kind of measure how many people were at the parks, how active they were being. And we did this again this summer. The results are currently being analyzed, so we don't have that information. We're also doing crime mapping, so we've established boundaries that I believe are about two blocks from each park, kind of in a circular pattern. And then we have some control parks across the city that we're looking at to see if crime has decreased because of the activity and the police presence at those parks. We're also doing process monitoring, baseline and follow-up surveys. This is part of our evaluation with Pennington. So those receiving the fruit and veggie prescriptions took a baseline survey. They also took one at their four-month follow-up, so after they got four prescriptions, and then they'll take another one 12 to 18 months after their initial prescription. We're also doing gathering clinic measurements from the clinics of those patients that received the prescription. We're getting BMI, heart rate, blood pressure, and A1C, so we're hoping to see some good results from that. And then we're doing some general tracking of attendance at the parks and numbers of people who redeem the prescriptions. So challenges, it took a lot longer to get some things hired to the city. NordC, because it's a department of the city, to get our parks director hired took a very long time. The Pennington survey was a challenge because when we were funded, no one was told that we had to do this component. And so it took a lot longer to figure out how to do it, to go through IRB and so forth. So it just added a lot more time onto our project than we'd hoped. Politics, because of the policies we wanted to pass, that posed a challenge. And then the weather. Like I said, our parks, the classes are outside, so our classes have been canceled. Last winter was really cold. Summer's really hot here, so we've seen a dip. And then right now we're trying to work with this winter and figure out how we can have classes, where we can have classes, and we're actually working with some neighborhood churches who are very willing and have been great partners and want to offer some of these classes inside at their churches. So our success, again, with the city's framework, it's been a great partnership. We see our numbers increasing. We really have a great buy-in from our instructors in the parks. They're doing other volunteer activities. NordC does movies in the parks, and we have some of those instructors that have volunteered to do 15-minute Zumba class. So we've got this really great buy-in from our instructors. And then, of course, our partnerships are a success. Sustainability real quick. The one thing I do want to talk about mostly is, one of the things that we can't figure out how to sustain because it does involve direct funds is the security detail. So we are going to be installing security cameras at the parks. But just to make this real for you guys, at one of our parks this weekend, someone was shot. A coach and two football players were shot at the park at St. Rock while a class was going on. So security at our parks in New Orleans is very real. And it really is a challenge for people to be active when literally there are drive-by shootings in places where kids are. So I know someone asked earlier about the farmers markets. Market Umbrella does do training and technical assistance to some of the other rural markets across the state. It's not necessarily part of this project, but it is inherent in what they do. So they are working with some of the other markets in the rural sections of Louisiana. And then Whitney and I had the pleasure of meeting with a group from New York. I don't know if anybody's from New York. But in their parks department, they have a project called Shape Up. And their instructors at their parks, a lot of them are volunteers. So she was very kind to come meet with us while she was in town for a wedding and kind of gave us the framework for how they make this work. And I know we're looking into some options to see if we can do the same. So again, this is just, you know, this is the idea behind the collective impact model. And for this specific project, we see LPHI as a backbone organization because it's really NORDC and Market Umbrella that's on the ground doing this work. And that's it. Any questions? Thank you. The grant does. Mm-hmm. We use the USDA guidelines, and so some of them I think are Fiber One bars. It's some of the baked chips. They're really, you know, there wasn't a lot to choose from according to what the USDA guidelines had and then what our stores had and what could be kept at the parks. You know, ideally we'd love to offer fruits and vegetables. But, you know, the booster clubs have told us they're not going to sell and then they're going to go bad. So healthy concessions has been a bigger challenge than we ever really thought it would be, especially because when the kids came and tasted them at the community input events, they loved them. But, you know, that was all that was there. And so when you put that next to the nachos, we're always going to choose nachos. So. Well, when we started the project, we had met with all the district commanders in the neighborhoods, hoping that we could figure out a system to where we didn't have to pay detailing, that the police would just come into the park. And the NOPD is highly understaffed, and there's so much going on that they couldn't give that to us. I do think within this next year it's worth another visit, because we do have a new superintendent, and so maybe it's just, you know, we even asked, can the policemen sit at the parks in their car when they write their reports? But again, I mean, Friday, the officer was there. The shooting still happened. So then you're kind of like, well, now what? You know, but luckily this neighborhood, unfortunately, there was a shooting there about 5 months ago, 6 months ago, not during a class, and someone was actually killed. But the neighborhood—it's a really strong neighborhood, and they really rally, not around this, but they did a large crime watch event after this, and they don't let it keep them indoors because they're not going to let the criminals take over their neighborhood. All right, thank you very much.